سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا، إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, last week we started Surah Yusuf. We did the first three ayah verses of Surah Yusuf, and today we recited verses number 4 and number 5. I've got Maariful Quran in front of me, compiled by Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and the English translation was done by Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahib Hafizahullah. Let's do the translation first, and then we'll do the little commentary. Verse number 4 in Surah Yusuf, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam sees a dream and he tells it to his father. When Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam said to his father, "My father, I have seen 11 stars and the sun and the moon. I have seen them all prostrating to me." The father replied, he said, "My son, do not relate your dream to your brother, lest they should devise against you a plan. Surely Shaitan is an open enemy for mankind. And in the like manner, your Allah will choose you and teach you the interpretations of events and will perfect his bounty upon you and upon the house of Yaqub alayhi salam." Until the next ayat. And Allah Ta'ala, he has perfected it earlier upon your father, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ishaq alayhi salam. Surely your Allah is all wise and all knowing. Now regarding dreams, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah gave a detailed explanation with quite a few pages. Basically, he mentioned three types of dreams people get. One is the dreams of the Anbiya Ikram alayhim salatu wassalam, which is wahi, divine revelation. Like how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam seen his dream sacrificing his son Ismail alayhi salam. And when he related the incident to his son Ismail alayhi salam, replied, "Ismail, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You'll find me among the most patient ones and carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Similarly, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said wahi through the angel Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. But in mentioning this commentary of this ayat, that even sometimes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to get divine inspiration through a dream, and the dreams of the Nabi is true. The second type of a dream is, as humans, what we think about during the day, or we see something during the day, or some event took place in your life, and during the whole day you are thinking about it, and when you go to sleep, sometimes the same things come like a dream in your mind. So it has no value, those types of dreams. You don't even have to worry about it. The third type of a dream is the whispers of Shaitan. that sometimes shaitan makes you dream something wrong and don't even, must just ignore it. And normally when you see a frightening dream or a bad dream and you just got up in a shock, but recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem and make as if you are spitting 3 times on the left hand side of the bed. You blow and make as if you are chasing the shaitan away. Now, since Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi, no more Nabi to come after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today, if somebody sees any dream and he says that what I see in my dream must make it a law of the Sharia, we cannot do that. No dreams can become the law of the Sharia. Whatever is the authentic teaching of the Quran and Sunnah, that will remain supreme and that will be. Now also, regarding the narration in Bukhari Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَانِ. Does it in future no part of the Nubuwa will remain except al-mubashirat, glad tidings, good news? When the noble Sahaba asked for the meaning of mubashirat, the true dreams, this proves that there is no Nubuwa or prophethood of any kind or form for anyone anymore. What remains of it is only a small part, which is called Al-Mubashirat, true dreams. Now some pious personalities, sometimes they see some good dreams. And if any pious personality seen our beloved Rasulullah in his dream, he definitely seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because shaitan cannot take the feature and the description of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned of Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, one of the 4 famous Imams of Fiqh. He made his Faraz Hajj and he should teach in Masjid al-Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hadith, Fiqh, Quran, Tafsir, etc. And he was very particular on Sunnah and he wanted to pass away in Madinah Munawwara. Now every time if he has a desire to leave Medina either for Umrah or go to some other place for some dini activities, for some lecture program, etc., the thought used to come in his mind, what if I pass away in another city and not in Medina Munawwara? I want to be buried in Medina Munawwara. Being a pious personality, seen our beloved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. And he has a conversation with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where my mouth will come, my death is going to come. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed his 5 fingers and that ayat of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. This verse of the Quran, clearly there's 5 things only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Qiyamah is going to come, when the rain is going to come, it will come in of beneficial rains or floods. The pregnant mother, the babies will be a healthy baby or disabled baby, be a pious child. The sustenance, etc. of the child baby is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will be our financial position tomorrow? Richness, poverty is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where our death is going to come, we're going to. So that part explained Malik rahmatullah, only Allah knows the exact time and place where you are going to die. Now coming back to the topic of dreams, first of all, we must not tell our dreams to anybody. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, He told his son Yusuf alayhi salam that don't tell your dream to anybody. Yaqub alayhi salam has prevented Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam from relating his dream to his brothers. This tells us that a dream should not be related before a person who is not a well-wisher, nor before a person who is not expert in the interpretation of dreams. According to Jamia Tirmizi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a true dream is one of the 40 parts of Nubuwwat, and a dream stays in suspension until related to someone. When related and interpreted by the listener, it transforms accordingly. That happens how it was interpreted. Therefore, one should not relate the dream to anyone except to a person who is knowing and wise, a pious alim, who's regular with the Faras Salah, who got Sunnah in their life, who abstained from major sins, or is at least a friend and a well-wisher for you. Best is don't try to get any interpretation for the dream. But if you really want to share it with somebody, a pious alim, Maulana, you know he's your friend, he'll always desire good for you. Not somebody who got a dagger behind your back. Any opportunity you get to stab you from the back, they'll stab you. This is a time of we are living in, where the friendship also, we don't know that person is sincere or not sincere. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But we'll feel happy that everybody is sincere, we'll be good to everybody. So the dreams also, we mustn't tell it to anybody and everybody. And the best is that we remain silent. And sometimes some non-Muslim disbelievers also see some dreams. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, I got the Marif al-Quran in front of me. The dream of a sinning disbeliever may also be true at times. It stands proven from the Quran and Hadith and from experience that sinners, even disbelievers, could see dreams which are true. In Surah Yusuf itself mentioned there are the dreams of two prison mates of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam which were true. And similarly the dream of the king of Egypt which was true, though the three of them were non-Muslims. This was in the Quran, mentioned in the Hadith, is the dream of Kisra, Cyrus, who had dreamt about the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That dream turned out to be true, though Kisra was not a Muslim. The paternal aunt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Atika, had seen a true dream about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam while she was still a disbeliever, a non-Muslim. In addition to that, the dream of the disbelieving king of Babylon, which was interpreted by Sayyidina Daniel Alayhi Wasallam, was a true dream. This tells us that the simple incident of someone seeing a true dream and the event taking place as seen cannot become a proof of the dreamer being pious and righteous. Alhamdulillah, Allah reward Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi for giving such beautiful explanation. Now we as ordinary ummatis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we mustn't always listen to dreams. Normally when the Jamaat brothers go out in the path of Allah, we have a guidelines talk in the Markaz what we must speak. We speak within the 6 points. And they say, don't mention dreams in your talk. Mention the sacrifice of the Anbiya Ikram, of the Sahaba, pious people of the past that passed away. And if we speak about our dreams, then a certain thought of ujub, kibr, pride may come into us, trying to claim that you're a very pious person, you've seen good dreams. So sometimes whispers of shaitan to create pride in us. So we don't say dreams in our talk. What is authentic Quran, Hadith, sacrifice of the Sahaba, we mentioned that. Last week I read a beautiful Hadith, but because of time constraint, I never make the complete commentary of that Hadith, inshallah. The other verses of Surah Yusuf will continue to next week, inshallah. Now let's elaborate on this hadith which I've recited. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal iyyakum wa zann فإن الظن أكذب الحديث ولا تحسسوا ولا تجسسوا ولا تنافسوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا كما أمركم المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره التقوى هاهنا التقوى هاهنا. One is we spoke about having evil opinions, backbiting, spying on people's private lives, eavesdropping in people's conversation if two people are talking. Respect their privacy, don't try to listen. And you may listen the wrong thing and tell the wrong thing to the people too. Allah protect us. The other part in this hadith is mentioned that true piety is in the heart. Now, sometimes people say, you know what, what's in my heart is with me and Allah. I got strong iman. First of all is فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَعَلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Nobody can claim to be pious. We all have our own shortcomings. But in the heart, if there is a value of reading our 5 times for a salah on his prescribed time, a person will make an effort to read it on his prescribed time. And the value of reading Salatul Jama'ah is in our heart, then the males will make an effort to read Salatul Jama'ah. Unless you get very sick or while traveling, the times are different. Winter, Asr, Maghrib is so early. But generally, if you're not traveling, you're not very sick, you try to read your Salatul Jama'ah. We have love for the Quran in our heart, then every day we must recite some portion of the Quran. We have sincere love for the Sunnah teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know if we revive any Sunnah teaching of Nabi Sallam, we get the reward of 100 martyrs. So we must use the miswak, practice on the Sunnah, have the Sunnah be it. So sometimes people say, you don't know what is in my heart, but you see that person's personal life, we're not judgmental, but you have to be judgmental sometimes. But he's saying, he's an Aashiq Rasul, but he don't have a Sunnah beard. She's saying, he's an Aashiq Rasul, not reading Faras Salah on time. Or sometimes somebody ending up in some haram venue, taking alcohol, drugs, going after prostitutes. So you don't be judgmental, you know, Allah knows what is in my heart. Now, if it's an Islamic country, if the Islamic laws are enforced, and if a person is caught drinking alcohol, they are being punished. An unmarried person commits adultery, there's 100 lashes. A married person commits adultery, they must be stoned to death. And these punishments are for a deterrent to others that they don't commit the similar mistakes. So a person must interpret this taqwa is in the heart and you do what you want. How the Christians say, Jesus died for our sins so we can do whatever they want. That is all whispers of shaitan. Allah protect us. Another important thing mentioned in this hadith that we don't oppress somebody and nobody must oppress us also. And there's one is different types of oppression. One is in a place of position. Say you're a chairman in an organization, Muslim organization, or in a business or a factory, you call it some position and you have people working under you. Don't try to misuse your position, but try to be good, fair, and everything. Similarly, in a smaller scale, every married couple, the husband of the house, the father of the house, have some authority over the woman folk, over the wife, children. So we must appreciate the wife's cooking, baking. They make some small mistakes, overlook it. If we have visitors coming, request them. See, I'm not forcing you. I'm requesting you, can you prepare a meal? But she says, I'm not well today, I got a headache. You can get some caterers or something. But don't worry, I'm your husband, you just listen to me or you get out of the house. No, we mustn't say things like that. And as we never ever raise your hand on a woman, especially your wife, daughters or anything. If they're doing something wrong with wisdom, try to explain them. And if something very serious, for example, watching films on the phone, watching professional sports, these are kabira guna, what we need to abstain from. We tell them 1-2 times, don't see this, but they still want to continue, speak to her father or uncle that, see, this is not permissible in Islam. There is something haram. But I still love your daughter. You can see she does cooking, baking. Mention her good qualities with the complaint. Then inshallah Allah will keep the muhabbat also in the family. Now guide them to rectify the mistakes. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.